In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. If you look carefully at all of the teachings of Jesus in all four Gospels, you'll see that he uses the terms faith and good works rather sparingly. What he does teach about, though, constantly, is life. I am the way and the truth and the life, he says. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And this familiar text before us today is full and brimming over with life. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, that's not a parable. Jesus is not saying, I am like a vine, my Father is like a vine dresser. This is not picture language. It's descriptive. And anyone with gardening experience knows exactly what he's talking about. This is not just a matter of gardening. It is a matter of life and death. For living things live and grow. Growing plants produce fruit. So you can no more believe and not do good works than you can go on living without breathing. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. God our Father did not redeem you so that you may sit on your hands. Jesus Christ did not lay down his life for you to give you success and happiness and some nice religious feelings. He came to awaken you from death and into life. And by definition, that life is a productive life, a living faith that lives by love. For as Christians, we were designed by God our Father so that we might produce the fruits of faith in terms of love and good works. St. Paul declares to the Ephesians, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a life of good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. But the good that you want to do, you don't do, do you? Instead, the evil things you don't want to do, those are the things that you do. God the Father has given you new life in his Son. But along with that new life, you also cultivate the undergrowth of your old sinful habits, tenderly nurturing and feeding the weeds in your sinful nature, side by side with the wholesome crops that God has planted. And you know what happens when you allow bitterness to take root in your life, along with the love of Christ. Then your life in Christ begins to wither and die as it's choked out by these other things. You know what happens when you feed on hatred along with love? That love of yours is sure to falter. You know, don't you, what happens when you feast your eyes, when you fill your heads with moral filth, and then try as best as you can to think on things that are noble and good, right and pure, lovely and admirable? You know which kind of thoughts win out. It's no wonder then that Jesus reminds you over and over that you cannot serve two masters, that there must be constant vigilance against sin, that it must be rooted out before it spreads and chokes your relationship to him altogether. Sin is like a cancer. Left unchecked, it grows and grows to take over the healthy parts of our lives until it spreads all through us and we die. Spiritually speaking. And that's why the fatherly vine dresser takes such drastic action. He cuts off every branch in Christ that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he trims them clean so they will be even more fruitful. So it shouldn't be surprising that old sins die hard. They are so firmly rooted and entrenched within. Many of your sinful habits are so deeply planted, so ingrained that they have to be torn out of your lives, kicking and screaming. Yet sin must be put to death before it kills you. And this happens by contrition and repentance. That's where the Father's pruning shears come in. And many of you know that pain of pruning intimately. You've experienced the agony of loss, the anguish of sorrow and distress. You know the pain of loneliness and emotional agony. Some among us have endured long days and months and even years of sickness and physical suffering. Others have had to contend with seemingly endless days of the blackness of depression and despair. And it hurts. All of it hurts. And then you wonder, why? Why, dear God, is this happening to me? We may never know all of the whys on this side of eternity. But you do know this, that all of these painful experiences serve to draw you closer to your Father, to help you rely even more on His promises. And so with St. Paul, you learn that when you are weak, then you are strong. For God's power is all the more amplified in your weakness. When you are completely devastated, when, like Humpty Dumpty, you take the great fall and all of your pride lies broken and shattered in tiny pieces all over the ground, then you can all the more clearly see the rottenness and the filth of your sin so that you can repent and God can cleanse you and heal you and make you whole again. For all of that rottenness has been removed. All of that vain pride and pain has been nailed with Jesus to His cross. And it was once and for all buried with Him in His tomb. It is forever erased by the blood of Jesus, by God's only Son, which cleanses you of every sin. You are already clean because the word that Jesus has spoken, the word of His gospel absolution. So you don't have to be rid of every element of sin to be cleansed and whole in the sight of God. Because the blood of Christ Jesus speaks for you. The blood of Jesus testifies before the Father's throne that all of your sins are washed away, that everyone who believes and is baptized shall be saved, that those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb will walk before God in righteousness and innocence and blessedness all the days of their life and into all of eternity. So there's not much more to say, really, about faith and good works than what Jesus has already said. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Now that's a promise you can live by. Because that's what happens each and every Lord's Day here in this place. You are abiding in Christ. You hear His life-giving word. You eat His life-giving body. You drink His holy precious blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins, so that you may be filled to overflowing with his very life. And that life of Christ that is within you, that will bear lasting fruit. No branch bears fruit by itself, but remaining in Christ by faith, you will bear much and abundant fruit. For the Father is in the produce business. He grows the fruit of faith in you. And those fruits are love. Love for God, to be sure, but love also for your neighbor. The neighbor under your very own roof, down the street, and around the world. The neighbor who's hurting and afraid. The neighbor that's lost and lonely. That neighbor in need of help and care. But how can I do this, you ask? Well, you can't. Not by yourself. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You are not the vine, but you are branches in the vine. So hear this. When you abide in him, and he is in you, then you will bear fruit. Just wait and see, because you have his very word on it. Amen.